And the Emmy goes to.
And the Emmy goes to.
And the Emmy goes to.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
Modern Family.
Feet.
Homeland.
The Crown.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Next Best Series podcast, where we talk about television under the Next Best Picture umbrella. We are back doing this. We do it only for a portion of the year around Emmy season, which is what we are officially in now. You have a couple of shows that have been around for quite a while that even have been rewarded during this past Oscar season at the Golden Globes, the Critics' Choice, and the Screen Actors Guild Awards. And then you have shows that are currently airing right now that people are watching. And then there are some that are going to be released over the next couple of weeks, all the way up until that May 31st deadline to compete this year for the Emmy Awards. Here to join me to welcome us back to the world of television this week, I have Nadia Dalamonte.
Hi, everyone.
And Giovanni Lago.
Hello.
All right, so what we are going to do for this episode is we're going to get everyone up to speed on what we've been watching and what has happened so far at the Critics' Choice, Golden Globe, and SAG Awards. Now, those who listen to the regular NBP podcast know what happened at those award shows. We're not going to just simply say, oh, the obvious, because everybody knows what won. We know what won. But what I want to know from you guys is I want to know, are those winners, whichever ones are carrying over, because let's face it, something like Succession, for example, is over. It's not competing for this year's Emmy Awards. Are these winners going to translate come Emmy Award time? That's the question that's on my mind for this week's episode. So what I want to do is first start off with what everyone has been watching this season so far. And Nadia, we could start off with you. I know that as we go over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be catching up with more and more stuff is going to be premiering. But for now, what have you been watching that you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely playing catch up with television. But over the past couple of days, I have started getting back into the swing of things, trying to keep up for Emmy season. So I watched the first three episodes of the Marvel animated series, X-Men 97.
I've been hearing a lot of people say that this is excellent.
Yeah, I mean, the reviews were really enticing to me. I mean, for those who have seen the original X-Men animated series from the 90s, this new series is essentially a continuation of that narrative. And then for those like me who haven't seen that original, I think X-Men 97 also works really well as a standalone piece. I mean, I've seen some of the X-Men live action movies, but I wouldn't say that I'm especially well-versed in that universe and the Marvel universe in general. So I was a little hesitant to kind of dive into this one. But the reviews, as I said, got me interested. And I think it's a really, so far, a very welcoming series for newer fans or for those who might not know about the characters in as much detail. It's pretty engaging, entertaining so far, and really through the writing, you really get a strong sense of the thematic layers that X-Men tackles. The animation is really great and playful. It kind of feels like watching a retro cartoon on a Saturday morning. The first episode was a little shaky for me, but three episodes in, I feel like I'm pretty much on board and I'm looking forward to the next one. And I gotta say as well, I'm a big fan of horror, and the third episode has a really fantastic callback to horror movies, which was really unexpected. It's sort of like a love letter to the horror genre, which I enjoyed a lot. So there's quite a bit here that I'm really gelling with. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Nice. Nice all around. Gio, I know that you keep up with television pretty much year round.
Yes.
So I couldn't ask you to list everything because we would be here all night, but what have been some of the standouts for you?
I'm going to try to keep it towards this year instead of, like, you know, the shows that carried over that are this season. But, like, if I did mention something, I would mention The Curse, which I thought started at the end of the last year and finished at the beginning of 2024. Brilliant miniseries by the Safdie brother, Benny, and Nathan Fielder. It's the most perfect blending of both their styles. So if you think it's like, wow, this is the rehearsal on steroids and then Uncut Gems mixed in, it's, yeah, it is. And it's excruciating, painful to watch. And Emma Stone, personally to me, if you thought what she did in Poor Things was like brilliant, what she does in The Curse is unreal and probably one of the more terrifying like performances I've seen in recent memory. Another show that carried over that was really good that I enjoyed was Fargo season 5. I, as someone, you know, haven't watched every season of Fargo. I watched, you know, when it started and kind of dipped in and out. The consensus is by many that this is like the best the show has been since it started. Jon Hamm, I think, also probably is the best thing he's done since Mad Men. He is amazing. Everyone in the show is amazing, but just the fact that we're getting like great Jon Hamm performances still, and he's starting to, you know, get back in the groove of things, I'm loving it. In terms of stuff now, like, we're going to talk about Shogun a bunch in these series of podcasts because it's phenomenal. You know, when it's coming out and people are saying, one of the few shows that I think conveys scope and compared it a lot to Game of Thrones. And those comparisons are very apt. I think all around it's a technical marvel, from like the production design, the costuming, the visual effects work, just seeing an actor like Hironuki Sanada, you know, getting a platform to be a leading man. He's great. And Matt is probably already exhausted from me just impersonating Cosmo Jarvis's voice on the show, because you could listen to him talk for hours. It's amazing. It's one of the best things on TV this year. Another thing I watched that came out a couple months ago this year was Lulu Wang's Expats on Amazon Prime. Beautiful miniseries. Nicole Kidman's amazing. Everyone in that show is brilliant. I think the writing is exemplary. In terms of other shows watching right now, Abbott Elementary, I keep up with. Personally, might be a hot take. So far, the weakest, I would say, of the three seasons. I enjoy it. Like, it's a delightful watch. It's breezy. I think the quality, I don't know if it's, you know, this is one of the first shows to immediately resume post-strike and to get into a certain time frame for that television slot before the end of the year. The quality is dipped a little bit. Certain storylines, I'm wondering why we're going with it, especially the whole Janine and like government compared to her being a teacher. It kind of keeps her at an arm's length at times from the rest of the ensemble. But other than that, it's good. It's still quality television. I think that's probably more so what I've been watching recently. There's just a bunch. Tokyo Vice. I've seen a few episodes of the new season. From what I've heard, it's fantastic improvement upon the first, which I enjoyed. But yeah, I think that I've watched a bunch. If I just kept going on about what I've seen, we would be going on for a bit. So I'll end it there.
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, just 2, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24. Well, my list is considerably a lot shorter. I probably should have spent a little bit more time post-Oscars during the month of March watching more shows, but it just hasn't worked out that way. I thought I was going to have the time, but I'm starting to get the time a little bit more now, or maybe it was because I knew that this time was coming and I was like, okay, I need to scramble and catch up on some things. But this is what I've got. Obviously, The Bear. I love it.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2, I thought was just as good as the first season, maybe even better. So that's top of the list. Beyond that, Yeah, I am so sorry. Like trust me, I have a lot of catching up to do. But I did watch The Curse, as Gio mentioned earlier. I'm also in the middle of watching Shogun. I haven't finished it. Well, technically, it's also not finished.
Mm-mm.
But I'm not caught up yet. I'm still a few episodes behind compared to everybody else. But I'm getting there. And beyond that, wow, this is embarrassing. Oh, you know, I did watch the final season of The Crown.
Yeah, I couldn't finish it. I don't know if you watched the whole season throughout. I probably stopped halfway through.
I got through it, and I have to admit, I really didn't enjoy it that much, to be honest with you. But hey, I got through it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Loki season 2, I watched that because I did like the first season, so I figured, why not? Let's go back to this. Yeah, the one show that I was hoping to start by the time we got here that I haven't yet is the Three-Body Problem. But I think I need to work my way up to that because I'm still traumatized by what David and Dan did to Game of Thrones and to my life. The fact that I can't talk to anybody about that show ever since it ended hurts me still to this day.
It's okay. It's okay, Matt.
No, it's never going to be okay. Truly.
You have House of the Dragon.
Yes, yes. I do have House of the Dragon coming back sometime this summer. I believe in June, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. And there's other things, too, that have not premiered yet that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to checking out Ripley with Andrew Scott, which is going to be coming to Netflix, shot by Robert Elswit in black and white.
Oh, no, it's gorgeous. Like, the trailer alone, I'm in. And then you have Andrew Scott, you know, just continuing off like an amazing performance of All of Us Strangers. And then now he's Ripley. I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. I just want to see him just chill around in Italy and shot by Robert Elswit. So I'm very excited for this miniseries.
But one thing that this season is showing us because of the strikes is that a lot of shows that were hoping to return are not going to be able to return for this eligibility window. And thus, we have a lot of unlikely contenders this season. A lot of heavy hitters are missing out this year. So now maybe this is the time for certain shows that didn't get their time in the spotlight so much to shine, something like The Gilded Age or The Morning Show. Or maybe this is the year where Hacks now takes, the Bear is going to be hard to dethrone, but like Hacks, I think, is going to be up there against it possibly for Outstanding Comedy Series. And then there's a couple of other ones too here. Reservation Dogs is going to be in contention again. What We Do in the Shadows is going to be in contention again. So there's a lot of elements at play here. And that is probably the most exciting part, I think, is that there are shows that usually are kind of sitting off to the sidelines because there are larger shows that are hogging up the spotlight. And now something like, say, Slow Horses, which is in its, what, fourth season?
Third season just ended. It's going to do season 4 is the next
one. Gotcha. So the third season is the one that's up for the consideration
this year.
Yeah. This is the time for that show to be properly recognized now by the Television Academy. So I think that's like probably the most exciting piece of the season. The problem is that a lot of these shows, because they weren't the big heavy hitters, have not been widely seen by even yours truly. So now I have to catch up on seasons worth of material just to be able to speak to some of these shows that are in contention this year.
Well, Matt, if it makes you feel better, you will probably end up putting more work than Television Academy voters this year, which has me very terrified, especially in certain races where I'm like, are we really going to fall to this? Because that's just, you know, what you know. And I think
They have shown that that's what they will do in these situations.
This year is going to be really bad. Like last year, you know, people were like, wow, okay, three shows won. Last year was convenient where all three shows that predominantly dominated in drama, comedy, and limited series were all fantastic. Like they were all great. This year, it's not looking great for like some of them. I'm actually concerned. We might get like a Game of Thrones final season type winner in certain categories, especially in drama. I think that's the big fear for me is drama.
So The Crown, you're thinking?
Unfortunately, yes. I think that, you know, they might default to it. I don't think it's going to be a sweep in every major category like, you know, it did for the final Coleman season. I just think it's a de facto beloved show that I know these people watch in the Television Academy. I think, you know, it's possibly going to win drama series. I think supporting actress is happening. I think, you know, we look at Elizabeth Debicki, who's practically, I don't know, I can't say she swept.
You can't say she swept. She won the Golden Globe. Yeah. CCA and SAG.
Yeah, so it's most likely that she's winning, which, you know what, out of my complaints out of the final season, which I did not really like or even care to finish, sadly, I thought Debicki was the highlight of that whole final arc with the new chapter of new actors in the series. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be too upset. I'm happy. If, you know what, let's give all the awards to Elizabeth Debicki, but I can see them just defaulting to it.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our full episode of the Next Best Series podcast, where we talk about television under the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella. In order to get the full length episode, you will have to head on over to Next Best Picture's Patreon, where for $1 minimum a month, you'll get the rest of this episode and other exclusive podcast content from us. You have been listening to the Next Best Series podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and if you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, we really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.